Okay, welcome to this very standard generic introduction to our podcast.
Our very first podcast.
The name of which is Two Geeks. My name is Mark.
And I am Ryan.
We decided that we want to share our geeky views with you.
Thank you.
So the format of this particular show is Ryan and I are fairly passionate about our geeky things, hence the term Two Geeks. Therefore, we will decide every fortnight what we find the geekiest, and we're going to have a chat about it as passionately as we like.
I don't really think of myself as a geek, though. I think you're a geek, but I think of myself more as a connoisseur of pop culture.
That's nice, but you keep telling yourself that, whatever helps you sleep at night.
I will try that.
But
try
you that. Are a geek.
Thanks.
Otherwise, the title of the podcast does not work. So, rather than us just having a friendly chat, with any luck, it's going to be a debate show where, you know, my opinions are obviously the only ones that matter, and Ryan's are the ones that are a lot of shite. That's how I see it.
Okay, I'm quite happy with that.
See, he's already kind of folding. You know, this is going to be a short-lived debate show.
Like the cheap chair that I'm sitting on right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, let's get to it then.
Yeah. So you're probably going to get sick of my voice because Ryan's decided he doesn't want to introduce most of these things, but he's going to talk in a second. The first topic we're going to go into is Man of Steel. We're talking around about 7 years since the last Superman film back in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
The much, in my opinion, underrated Superman Returns. Oh. I think I'm probably in the minority here.
Yes.
But let's not get bogged in that to begin with. I want to just straight away ask Ryan, what did you think about probably one of the most intriguing summer blockbusters this year?
Well, it was definitely anticipated, like you say, 7 years. I enjoyed it a lot in a lot of places and hated it in a lot of other places. Loved Kevin Costner, thought he was amazing. Russell Crowe, thought also very good, amazing supporting cast. And a lot of people out there, a lot of haters, have been saying stuff about Henry Cavill and how he was very wooden and like, I don't know, for me, he is a wooden character. But I thought I didn't think he was as wooden as a lot of people had made out that he was. I did enjoy it, however, a lot, and support cast, yes, very much so. Yourself, what did you think?
It was certainly what I went in with. I didn't watch any trailers. I watched the initial teaser, I watched the second trailer, and then
was
it. Went in fairly blind, so I didn't know exactly what to expect from the Superman film. I thought it was very action-packed. That's the thing to take away straight away. It was
maybe a little bit too much action, you know what I mean?
It was kind of sensory overload. It was just like Zack Snyder kind of took the Superman logo and forcibly beat you across the side of the head with it.
And at the same time as well, is it a bad move? Because at the same time, you're sitting there, you're thinking, yeah, I'll go and see it again. Because maybe the second show and I'll have a bit more, you know what I mean? I'll understand it a bit more better. So asses in seats again, you know, just adding to how much money it'll make gross worldwide as well. So good move, Zack Snyder.
I've already seen it twice. I went to see it with the other half, yeah. Seen it in IMAX twice. It was a spectacle, to say the least. Drags a little, I would say, but not so much. I mean, it seemed the action breaks were quite frequent. So it was like, you know, pop, pop, pop.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, there's a little bit of story, but boom, there's action.
Yeah.
But I liked how they kind of glossed over the origin story because it's like one of these things that's so ingrained in pop culture.
Yeah, completely. There's the conversation with his dad in the car where he's like, you're not even my parents, whatever, you know, that whole bit, which would have been better if he had went away and discovered who he was then, because in the comics he discovers who he is when he's like 19 or 20 or something like that. This is clearly when he's 33, so, and there's no real sort of like, there's only like, oh, this guy's been searching via a throwaway line from, what's her name, Lois Lane.
I think, I mean, the format that could be kind of told, it looked very kind of Batman Begins, where initially kind of you got snapshots into his past and it kind of intersected very well. I think they were trying that exact same format with this, and I think for the most part it worked, but it was one of these things where you could tell that they were maybe kind of leaving some things. The Man of Steel seemed like a good springboard to launch a sequel, I thought.
I didn't, just because I felt that it felt very incomplete, and that's probably due to the director. If it had been Christopher Nolan, I think the script would have been tighter. The storyline would have flowed a lot better. I think Zack Snyder he likes his effects. He has a massive budget. That's definitely going to add to his way of storytelling, and I think that's why the story was so bitty. You know, it felt like action. story, action, story. You know, you felt like it was a stop-start. And then action, and then weird end.
Then bleeding ears. As much as I'm maybe kind of looking forward to a sequel, I kind of thought that they may have blown their action load, because the last 45 of the minutes of the film is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. No one is safe.
Yeah. Where do you go as well? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, at least in Batman, there's a build-up. So, with this one, where is it going to go?
Yeah.
And Superman, his main duty is to care for the people of Earth. You know what I mean? Not just let this devastation happen.
My fear as well is it's going to get kind of sucked into the Zod, Lex Luthor, and then like something else Earth-based. That being said, Superman, because he's an alien, doesn't tend to have many Earth-based villains, with the exception of, obviously, Lex Luthor, that kind of thing. They're all kind of alien-based, so whether or not that works on the big screen, I mean, I think the biggest kind of one that they could try would be Doomsday.
Yeah.
Doomsday, as much as he works in the comics, as much as he's an absolute badass, it'd be weird to kind of see him on screen. I mean, it seems like a very... like, Superman's a very difficult one to transition. It may have already blown its load, which is a bit of a shame, and therefore the next kind of Superman film might end up in limbo, despite the fact I've heard that it's as early as 2014. They're hoping for a sequel, which is a little bit kind of early, but maybe Zack Snyder will kind of film it kind of green screen 300 style. Your final thoughts on Man of Steel?
I enjoyed it. I felt that the connection with him being a human was very well done. However, the action was just way over the top for a Superman movie, and especially one, the first in a potential franchise. Quick question to end it though, Mark. One movie, you can only take one of them with you. Any of the three Batmans or the Avengers on the desert island when you're marooned?
The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight.
There we go. Cool. Right, so moving along swiftly, E3 happened. And
it did.
Next-gen consoles were out and about, looking very sharp and sexy. Some say maybe not so sexy, some bulky and overpriced. Your thoughts on that, Mr. Bateman? What would you be buying as a fan of consoles?
First protocol would probably have to be the PS4. I mean, if you've been keeping up with anything to do with, like, you know, the whole kind of debacle with the Xbox One, which I thought was strange. I thought PS4, you know, oh, it's moving forward, it's going forward. Xbox One goes back.
Yeah.
You know, so you had your Xbox 360.
But it doesn't go backwards compatible back.
No, it doesn't. Well, That doesn't really annoy me as much. The price, for one, £429 for a console is just shocking amount of money.
Yeah. But saying that, if you're like the way I like to work things out, is 365 days in a year, that's a pound a day. Can't even get on a bus for a pound a day.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You're probably spending, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're probably, when it works out.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair enough. But the Xbox One, or XB1 or whatever you want to try and call it these days, it doesn't really kind of sound like, I think they've already kind of flip-flopped to begin with, on their whole games were going to have to be registered online and you can only ever kind of play them if you put in a code. So it was like EA gone mad, and therefore no one really kind of had the ability to like trade the game. So if I wanted to lend them to you, that'd be, you know, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, it just wouldn't happen at all.
And I think they're talking as well about, like, third-party games don't have to work on the same rules as Xbox One original games. So, technically, if they wanted to put in infringements, as in you had to put in codes or you had to be online all the time, that's something that they're probably going to try and work back into the mix, which I thought was kind of a backhanded slap. It's like, oh, here you go, you can't do this. Oh, now you can. Now we're letting you do it. Mm. But maybe we're not, you know? I don't know, I didn't like the two-camera tiered thing as well that they've got on the go. You know, where you, on your Kinect, one of them just sits and monitors you all the time.
Because it's connected. That's kind of creepy.
That's a wee bit weird, you know what I mean? Imagine you're getting, you
know, if I want to masturbate in front of my Kinect?
Exactly.
Are you telling me that, I mean, I can, but somebody might be masturbating to me masturbating?
Yeah.
That's a lot of masturbating.
That's a lot of watching and masturbating as well. It's just about...
The exclusive titles for the Xbox 360, again, didn't really kind of jump out. I think they were screaming, Killer Instinct, Killer Instinct! And as far as I was led to believe, this was a cracker. There is only going to be one playable character to begin with in the game, which I think is Jago. And all the rest of the characters, apparently, you're going to have to buy. I don't know if this has kind of changed as well. You know, Xbox apparently have already flip-flopped on the whole kind of...
Xbox is really annoying me at the moment, man. Just in terms of like, oh, wait a minute, what, you want to breathe? Oh, you need to pay to breathe. Oh, well, wait a minute, you want to pass gas? You need to pay to pass gas. You know,
I don't want to ever pay to pass gas.
I know, they charge you a gold allowance in order to download demos. Whereas on the PlayStation Network, you get demos for free.
Yeah.
They've started giving you, they've basically stolen the idea from the PlayStation Network as well, where they give you free games. They've started giving you free games on the PlayStation Network. And now Xbox, if you're a Gold subscriber, you can get free games. And I just think that's atrocious. The only thing that's making them any money is their PlayStations, their DVDs, their TVs, all their other hardware isn't selling at all. At the end of the day, if they can afford to give it away and they're dying as a company, why can't Microsoft, that own everything, do the same?
Well, it's obviously, it's all money. Bill Gates, you know, it's obviously, I think he's a bit destitute. He needs a wee bit kind of more cash to line his pockets. It's a bit sad. It's just like George Lucas, you know, he needed more money, you know, so he sold, like, the rights to Star Wars for, I think it was a couple of quid. So, I mean, it's fair enough. These people need to eat. That's how you need to see it. It's not very kind of fair that you're ragging on kind of poor Bill Gates right
sorry.
Now.
Sorry, I'm sorry, you know, Bill. I'm sorry if you're listening. I doubt the hell you are, but I'm sorry if you are.
I probably will kind of purchase a PS4 straight at the bat. I don't know if I'll pay launch price for it. I don't think I've ever actually paid launch price for a console. As soon as I do actually have the cash together, I'll probably pick up a PS4. I may still buy the Xbox One, but only if it's one of these things where I maybe kind of see it a couple of years down the line. It's stupidly kind of cheap. And there's a game that I really want to play on it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the only thing. And, you know, we're talking, like, it has to be something like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, such and such has come out and I really need to play it.
Yeah. Xbox One is, it's not got a better graph. It's not a great graphics card. It's not got a great engine, full stop. Like, PlayStation beats it on every terms. So why would you go for something that's more expensive and not as good a quality?
You wouldn't?
No.
Listen, so...
And but, I'm a massive Xbox fan, I need to say. You know what I mean? Like, I've not played the PlayStation for a while. So, if I'm saying that, how many other people are saying that?
I think I've played maybe 2 games on my PS3. But, next-gen consoles, I think, initially, if we're going to have any money, we're probably both going to buy a PS4. That's what it sounds like.
Yep, completely.
And we're now on to comics. Comics, pretty much, you know, the lazy person's kind of book, you know, the nice shiny pictures and so on and so forth. That's why I like them, because I have a short attention span. Summer is the time where they release their summer arcs. You get your, basically, your tie-ins going across summer arcs, that kind of thing. You get your little runs of comics as well. The one that both Ryan and I have read quite religiously since it came out, I think it was maybe, this one's probably kind of stretching the summer arc a little bit, to be fair. Is Daredevil End of Days. If you're not familiar with kind of comics, every once in a while, Marvel have this tradition of doing what's known as the end. So the these end comics, they tend not to be canon, which essentially means that they're not kind of part of the actual kind of universe. The difference with the one we've just read, which is Daredevil End of Days, is it is. According to Brian Bendis, this one is how Daredevil's kind of days end. In essence, starts off with the fairly brutal and hardcore
annihilation,
yeah, that's a better term,
yeah,
of Daredevil in the street by his long-term nemesis Bullseye. Falling on from that is just, it's kind of like a whodunit with Ben Urich going along.
Yeah, it's more Ben, it's from Ben Urich's point of view, which I really like, but I don't want to get in there right now, but that's what I really liked about it. It was a Daredevil story, but not told through from Daredevil's point of view, which was a nice little spin on things, and I think that's what added to the genius of the writing. You know, it was from another character, Ben Urich, and I thought, just a really good little idea, you know what I mean? It's like looking outside the box and then just taking it from a different perspective worked completely for the story. I thought it was really good, thought it was awesome right up until the last 2 issues. I had problems with that just because the Urich arc, probably, more than anything. They'd done a bit of a 180, sort of, you know, rebirth of the character, you know, which I thought.
Well, yeah, but if we're going to get technical in that case, we'll forgo the fact that it's maybe not Daredevil's End of Days, but more Matt Murdock.
Yeah.
If I can say that properly, Matt Murdock. There we go. So it's probably his kind of, his bye-bye as opposed to Daredevil's bye-bye. Yeah. Kind of like if you're going for your whole kind of, you know, like, Batman can be anybody, you know, like...
Yeah.
You know, Daredevil can be anybody.
This is something that I thought, definitely. And then that's something that I thought might be quite interesting, considering that Marvel have just got the rights back to the character of Daredevil, and not a lot of people are fucking a massive fan of a blind lawyer that works out of Hell's Kitchen. you know, that has super heightened abilities. You know, a lot of people like that. He's not he's a very well followed character. However, he's not a likable character. People think that he's a lot smaller in the universe than he actually is. You know?
But I think you're maybe kind of making a mistake here, thinking, and you're probably right, that an awful lot of people are only familiar with Daredevil by Ben Affleck's portrayal, which I didn't mind, you know, like, screw the haters, I enjoyed Daredevil, the director's cut's also very good for that particular film. With Marvel getting the rights back, I don't think this is probably going to be that good a scenario, because whereby I think it was Joe Carnahan, the guy that directed The Grey, was apparently in the run to direct a Daredevil reboot. We would have got something pretty hardcore and dark, I reckon. We're not going to get that now. Yeah. We're going to get something that's PG-13, it's for the children. I
definitely think that there's comic book fans, and they span from 100 to, 6 or 7. We will see, you know, just for argument's sake. Now, if I'm a fan and I'm a 65-year-old man, do I really want to go and see a teeny version of that? Why? Like, they had a Marvel Knights situation a couple of years ago where they had the Warzone, Punisher Warzone. Yeah. And
I think Man-Thing ended up in there somehow. I think Ghost Rider, the sequel.
I started watching it and then I was like, whoa.
Although I do think the Blu-ray for some reason was a 12. I'm pretty sure when I went to see it in the cinema it was a 15.
Right.
But I could be wrong. But I think that had the Marvel Knights look.
Yeah, you need to have a scenario like that, like something that runs like that, because there's a lot of decent characters out there that do go into a bit more of an adult theme.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's definitely a market for that, especially with Marvel. They should know their market, that characters like your Daredevil and your Moon Knight and, you know, they kind of characters, Elektra, who I'm not a massive fan of, but
she fits in the Daredevil universe, quite well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be nice to kind of have a Marvel Knights, and I think this particular story that, you know, just getting back on topic there, the Daredevil End of Days, probably fit more in the Marvel Knights scenario as opposed to just generic kind of Marvel, which is not to say that it's still not canon, because apparently it is.
Yeah.
But it had a wee bit more grounds to be a bit more violent, which. Yeah. I mean, violence isn't like...
It's not the be-all and end-all.
It's not, but it's nice, you know, like, you couldn't do a PG Punisher film, and it would be very, very nice.
PG Punisher.
You know, you'd go about hugging the criminals and kind of, you know, giving them slaps on the wrist.
I mean, this is one of the gripes that I had about the Avengers. It's like, let's make it an alien race, because we can pummel them, shoot them in the face, you know, do everything about them, because it makes it that fantasy element, which is fine, but... Are CGI aliens not people as well?
No, they don't exist. No. I mean, they're computer generated.
It was more a question than, you know, do they actually have feelings?
Well, I'm sorry, no. Yeah.
But see, that's what I'm saying, you know, like it's extending the realm of fantasy to the point where it's like, well, we can get away with this because these guys have two arms, or, you know, these guys have three faces. You're like, brilliant, that's great, who knows? However, very good series, recommend it highly when it comes out in graphic novel form.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we'll just wrap that one up. We probably rambled a bit too much there, but just to kind of reiterate, Daredevil, End of Days. Might get a wee bit choppy near the end, but we both really enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Right, so Game of Thrones Season 3 just finished. We both are massive fans.
Of the show. I've read the first book.
Right, I read... bits of
books. You kind of read bits of it, don't you? You don't kind of read it all, which kind of bugs me. Why would you? You're kind of reading spoilers before the actual kind of thing.
Not really. Like, I mean, a lot like we were talking about before we started recording. There's parts in the book that don't happen in the show, and I can appreciate the show, and I can appreciate the guys that produce it and what they've done. What did you think, Season 3? Best season for you?
Yeah. So far? Obviously, there's certain events that we're going to have to skirt over because I'm under the impression that probably quite a few listeners might have actually only kind of seen some of it, might have actually only kind of got to the point where they're like, oh, I want to just wait for the box set and just watch that all together.
Yeah.
Just for the record, people, there's a thing called Sky Plus. You can pretty much just record them and then watch them all together, so you don't have to wait for the box set anymore. However... I'm not going to do a Metro,
yeah.
Which was just a shocking event. I don't know if you... Just to clarify, there is a particular event that happens fairly late on the season, which we're not going to elaborate, because anybody listening to this knows exactly what we're talking about. And probably, you know...
Especially if you read the Metro.
Yeah, especially if you read the Metro, because that's what I'm just moving on to. The Metro posted a fairly large spoiler on... It was actually a full-page spoiler, I saw it myself.
I remember a couple of guys that don't even watch the show.
Yeah.
And they were like, I went onto YouTube and watched this part.
This thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what we're talking about. If you've watched it, you know, you know how you felt. We know how we felt. It's bold television.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not to kind of sound too cheesy about it, because it doesn't pander, which yeah. I think is lovely. It's, you know, you can watch every kind of show every week, and you've got this kind of, you've always got this comfort where you know everything's going to be fine. Game of Thrones, you've not got that comfort. Yeah. You've simply not.
That is literally like watching a blind man getting ready to sit in a seat, and then the guy pulls the seat away from him. But not only does the guy fall to the ground, the seat gets folded up and smashed repeatedly across his head until the man is in a bloodied coma.
Yeah.
Which is great.
So season three, obviously, if you don't watch Game of Thrones, fantasy drama, which is very kind of limited on the fantasy, which is kind of nice. I mean, the fantasy element's there.
It's definitely an important element, I think.
It's downplayed significantly.
Yes, which I think
it's
good.
In this regard, it makes it accessible to people that ordinarily wouldn't watch fantasy. I think I've spoken to quite a few people.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
No, didn't watch fantasy. Game of Thrones, though. Swords and tits, nice. I like that. A bit of swords and tits, aye. Aye.
I think they're thinking about like doing a spin-off series, and that's what they're going to call it. Instead of... Song of Fire and Ice, they're going to call it Swords and Tits.
Swords and Tits.
I think we should coin
Bobby,
that, actually.
A wee bit of Bobby, you know, on the side as well.
Yeah.
Swords, Tits and a bit of Bobby.
I think that's the name of the episode.
Yeah.
Our first episode, Swords and Tits.
It sounds more like a sitcom, like two guys, a girl and a pizza place. We've got Swords, Tits and a Bobby. But yeah, I mean, the events of kind of last season...
If you've watched the first season and you've watched the second series, you know where it's going.
Yeah.
You know that characters that you love are maybe not going to make it. Read loads of little websites and what have you. And the thing that I like the most is that your characters that do nothing throughout your first few episodes, the characters that you think, how annoying are they?
Mm-hmm.
Are going to be your heroes in the long run. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're going to be the people that you're rooting for.
I kind of like as well, like characters you first start off hating. They warm to you, and you know, you might not share my opinion, but one of my favourite characters, Jamie Lannister,
yes,
at the moment.
He is my favourite character.
Contemptible, evil arsehole in the first series. You want to kick fuck him.
Yeah.
For lack
for
of
the
a better
first
term.
Episode, you know, yeah. Not even for yeah. the you're not
you,
ju- like...
you just want to set the prick on fire.
Yeah.
I can't help but like him now. But I've always been drawn to kind of morally ambiguous characters. Battlestar Galactica, favourite character, Gaius Baltar, without a shadow of doubt, because he was such a weaselly motherfucker, and you wanted him to get away with it.
Yeah.
So yeah, say Game of Thrones, it kind of challenges your conceptions where you want to kind of be like, right, this is a villain, this is a guy I'm going to hate, you know, I've already ticked, you know, the box, I've already sent him the death threat, you know, he's going to get that poison muffin quite soon. And then it flip-flops on you, you're just like, alright, okay, maybe no then, okay, I'm going to cry now.
Yeah.
You know? So season three, definitely the best so far, I'd probably say. It's building up.
I'm a little worried as well though, because that was the season that the producers wanted to get to, because that was the story that they wanted to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what I mean, is that not like spunking your wad halfway through the Portal movie? You know what I mean?
I don't like.
Or halfway through the scene, like, she's not even got her pants off yet and already you've like,
oops, yeah, you know,
it's all over, it's game over.
Game of Thrones over.
Exactly. So, where does it go for here? You know, how are they going to pick it up? Are they going to pick up the ball, or are they just going to roll it slowly into the corner?
Well, I think
they've got plenty of material there to not like. I mean, they could cannibalize stuff that's happened in one, well, not as much in the first book, but definitely in the second and the third, and make that a series into itself.
Yeah.
So they've got plenty of stuff there. They don't need to be in a rush to get through the books, and that's what it seems like a wee bit for me.
Mm.
Obviously, they're trying to tell the story.
Your general TV audience as well, and this is no like to insult anybody as well.
It is a little.
Well, maybe a little. TV audience and book audience, you know, you get the people that are like, oh, I don't know how they change that for the book and so on and so forth. People that just exclusively watch TV might have a shorter attention span. It's as simple as that. So therefore, if you're trying to tell them a story, you might not want to kind of just skirt round kind of certain things.
Yeah.
Which, you know, sounds fairly insulting, and obviously I like intelligent TV. But intelligent TV, as much as we really like it, doesn't tend to last.
Yeah, it does not. It's a track record.
Like, prime example, Awake. Right off the bat, you know, that's still a sore spot for me. But as soon as I watched a pilot, I said, this is the most intelligent thing I've ever watched in my entire life. It's going to get cancelled. I'm pretty sure I actually even said that to you. It's going to get cancelled straight away.
A lot to do with the network it's on as well. Like, a lot of TV shows get bought by massive networks and then they don't know how to market them.
Yeah. You
know? And, like, NBC, they bought Awake. They've done the same with Hannibal as well. Like, just to touch on that slightly, you know, I mean,
thankfully I got renewed.
Yeah, it's another one as well. Like, it's too involved. They want something like a Criminal Minds, a baddie of the week.
Mm.
You know, you're asking them to follow this character who's kind of loved by a lot of people.
He's well established. Yeah, he's probably the best. But I, you know, just kind of skirting around, you know, kind of dancing about Hannibal. I've recently just finished it all myself. I'm not going to kind of talk too much, but I loved it. And it is mainly because it's a different kind of, it's a crime procedural, you know, there's no denying that, but they're doing something different, like your Dexter, you know, Dexter, same deal, it's a crime procedural, you know, but you've got that different element that makes it worth watching, otherwise why would you?
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing like charismatic serial killers.
Well, everybody needs to have one in their life, at least. I gave up on Dexter, so we'll not, but
yeah.
Hannibal's picked up the ball and now we're in a torrid love affair.
So, rambling over, Game of Thrones, it's one of these series that we urge you to watch. I've explained this to pretty much everybody who's ever gone, oh, what's it like? I've simply said, if you cannot make it past episode one, if you finish episode one and you're not like, holy shit, I need to watch more, then it's no for you.
Looking back on it now, like, episode one is obviously, it's loads of bits that are, like, cannibalised because they went away, they shot it, they shot the pilot, and then they were like, that was bad casting, and it's nothing like the books and nothing like we envisioned.
Mm.
So, we need to go back, recast, reshoot. The first episode's hard to watch, but if you are not, like, I need to watch the second episode after the final couple of minutes, it's episode one, then you are dead inside.
I think that's pretty much the best way to describe it. Game of Thrones, fantasy show, you can pick up the first two seasons dirt cheap. Well, I say dirt cheap, you know, you definitely be able to pick them up on DVD. HBO series, people, so if you have any experience with HBO, you know that their box sets don't tend to be cheap, but if you've got the spare cash lying around, I'd highly recommend it. If not, I think the entire run repeated on Sky Atlantic, so you might still be able to get on there. And that brings us to the end of our little experiment. Whether or not there will be anybody listening next time is entirely up to yourself. Just a couple of guys, some general opinions. We hope you liked them. We hope you've got something to disagree with.
Definitely.
With any luck, we'll have a Twitter feed up soon, so you can always kind of like rip the piss into us whilst we just completely ignore you. But, you know. Yeah. We're happy for you to kind of, like, talk shite to us.
And if you're an attractive woman, then show us your boobs. Send us pictures. No, don't do that.
Yeah, you know...
Guys, on the other hand.
Yeah, we like moobs. Moobs are kind of inoffensive.
Yeah.
You know, no lady boobs, because, you know, we have ladies and they probably...
So we say, but come on, eh? You know what I mean? If you feel like showing us your boobs, it doesn't matter if you're a dude or a chick, you just show them.
Yeah.
Just feel happy with that.
I think we just lost half our audience.
Yeah. All three of them. Bye, Michelle.
Three of them. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, so just wrapping up, if you like it, if any luck, we'll be able to kind of try and get a subscription thing on iTunes going. But if not, tell your friends, and with any luck, we'll have another one up in about 2 weeks.
Yep. Spread the word, not the disease.
Thank you very much for listening. Bye.